Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit olathekia.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it down to the Tiger Club of Kansas City on Tuesday. But someone did. Gary Barnett, our next guest. And I saw a YouTube interview where Gary had a very nice mention of us and coming on the show every week. And hopefully he was telling the truth, because he said people, he has friends in Kansas City, they listen, they actually like it.
Checks in the mail, Coach.
Right.
Yeah.
And even if he didn't mean it, it still made me feel good. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, and of course, if they didn't like the show, they wouldn't call me and tell me. But people who do like it, some people that do like it, happen to call and tell me. So I was just repeating what I've heard.
Well, good. Well, thank you. We hear nothing but rave reviews about you coming on the show. Everyone loves when you come on the show and talk college football with us. How was the Tiger Club? How was the reception down there? You know, look, they didn't win, but Missouri played a compared to what they have in the past couple of weeks, they played a good game against Kentucky, almost pulled it out in the end. So what was the vibe down there when you talked to the Tiger Club about their team?
Well, I think that was the vibe. I think the elephant in the room was obviously, I think, Coach Odom's comments about a rebuild. You know, that seemed to catch everybody off guard a little bit when it happened in his rant. And so that had a lot of the attention of the people in the room, and there were a lot of questions about that and my attempted explanations of those. But, you know, I think that was the two obvious things. It looked like they were taking a small step last week and playing hard, but, you know, the elephant was, you know, what's going to happen with Barry Odom, and should something happen with Barry Odom? So that was pretty much it, Stephen.
So they looked like they made some improvement, especially offensively. Drew Lock looked better. He missed some throws here and there. He missed what would have been a touchdown pass, but still, you know, well over 300 yards, no interceptions, and three touchdown passes. I'll sign up for that every week. The running game was good. Ishwitter was good. The receivers made plays. Manuel Hall stepped up. The defense still has some issues, giving up big plays. But, look, they had the ball in their hands with a chance to win on the road. And then the boy, that bizarre, and I wanted to ask you about that play as a head coach. That's just got to drive you crazy. When they complete a pass, don't get out of bounds, clock is ticking, Jamon Moore is trying to run the football back to the official, a Kentucky player slaps it out of his hand, the officials don't see that, the ball bounces 10 yards downfield, the official was in no hurry to go get the football, and time ticked away, until finally they had to spike it and only had 3 seconds left. SEC, they release a statement saying that if they would have seen the Kentucky player hit the ball out of Jamon Moore's hands, they would have stopped the clock with about 16 seconds left. And look, that's an extra two plays, probably, maybe two throws in the end zone. That's got to be incredibly frustrating if you're a coach or one of those players where something happened. It was pretty obvious what happened, and still the officials don't see it in time, and that cost you maybe another opportunity or two to win the football game.
Well, when things aren't going your way, that's the kind of things that happen. And, you know, it is inopportune, and it does end up creating a big coulda, woulda, shoulda type situation, because I, you know, everybody in the stadium knew they were going to spike the ball, but there was 16 or 17 seconds roll off before they could get the ball snapped. And really, for those officials to not see that and not understand the gravity of that particular moment, you know, it is an injustice, and all they can do is send you an apology, and you go down the road, and, you know, they have a meeting, and Spank slaps some guy's hand, and then that's it. And so as a coach or as a fan base, you go, wait a minute, isn't there something that can be done about this? Don't we get a chance? Somebody should be punished, but in reality, it doesn't. It doesn't happen that way. I think the one thing you also left out, Stephen, in that description is that I think there were two bad snaps on field goals, and yes. that did them in. I mean, and those are things that you can control somewhat, but you get into a game and it just goes awry. And you take for granted a field goal for a long snapper. And I'm telling you, when you've got a good one, if you're as a coach, you sleep every Friday night knowing that that isn't going to be an issue. To be able to put that to rest and not have to worry about that single aspect of your game is huge. It's worth a couple hours of sleep on Friday nights and during the week. So that one's got to get fixed. And I think it's been a problem all year, but it was especially a problem Saturday.
Okay, so final question on Missouri. Can they build on this? Now, they have to go to Georgia this weekend, and they can play a good game and still get beat by a couple of touchdowns because Georgia's that good. But can a struggling team build on a good effort, but they come up 6 points short, or is it just still a loss and they need to get in the win column to really create some momentum?
Well, I think that nobody in the world expects them to win. I mean, 31-point underdogs, but, you know, Iowa State was 31-point underdog last week, too. But Iowa State had been playing pretty consistently. They just played a pretty good game against Texas the week before. So they did take the next step. I think Missouri, it's got to be a step forward. That's all. You know, don't lose by 31. Make it, you know, go down, play your fannies off, and let's keep moving forward. And that probably can only be controlled in the locker room. You're just in a situation like this, you're just constantly telling your players or asking your players to be careful about who they listen to. It's garbage in, garbage out. If you're going to hear garbage, if you're going to listen to the garbage, then that's what's just going to come out of your mouth and out of your body when you play. So you've got to constantly be putting in the right things, and you're in control of what you choose to listen to and who you choose to listen to. So that's where coaches have to be right now with that team. And they need to take a step forward. They don't need to win this game, but they do need to take a step forward. It's not so much for this year, for next year. And the team they're going to play could very well be in the playoffs. I mean, they're that good. They're going to probably play Alabama for the SEC championship. And, you know, once you get to that venue, who knows, anything can happen. So this is a good football team. And this team is, you know, if they're really a good football team, they're not going to overlook Missouri. And so Missouri's going to have to fight and scratch and claw. But that's what the game's about. And this game is about getting another chance to go play football and get better. And that's the approach they need to take.
Coach, the Kansas Jayhawks will be taking on Iowa State at 11 o'clock on Saturday morning in Ames, a 21.5-point favorite for the Cyclones here, who are coming off of one of the most surprising results in quite some time. As, look, they had been dominated by Oklahoma in the historic series of this matchup. They go down to Norman, Oklahoma, and win. How stunned were you by what the Cyclones did and maybe what stood out to you about the way they did it?
Well, Nate, every week I write down all the lines, you know, who's favored, and I write down all the teams. So when I get asked various questions, I can at least give somewhat of an intelligent answer, as much as I can give. I didn't even put them on my list. I said, nobody's even going to ask me about this game, so nobody's right. Going to care, you know, because it's so they don't have a chance. So that's how I looked at it. Anything can happen. But your toughest game when you go into it and you get a victory like that, the toughest game is always the next one, because you feel like you got to fight off the feelings that you've arrived. You got to fight off the feelings that we are a giant killer, that we now live with the big boys. And just through the years, I mean, I remember in Colorado we beat Nebraska 20-10 in 1986, and the next game was at Okie State, and we were favored by 21, and we went down there, and we had to pull it out at the last minute to do it because all of a sudden guys started thinking more of themselves than what they're willing to put out there to show people who they were. And so it's a tough game for Iowa State from that standpoint. And if Matt Campbell has them thinking right, if he has told, if they have listened to him and are careful about who they listen to, then Iowa State won't have a problem. But the nature doesn't say that happens very often.
So what they did with Joel Lanning in this game, who's been playing linebacker, he completes two passes as a quarterback. He runs the ball 9 times for 35 yards as a quarterback. And on defense, he posts 8 tackles in the game, including a sack. This is the kind of stuff you don't even see at the high school level anymore. What do you make of that as a head coach, what Iowa State did with that young man?
Well, he is a football player. And when I saw that Park wasn't going to play, and I'd watched them play, who was it? Texas, I guess. I saw that game, and when I saw him just make tackle after tackle and get himself in position and just be a football player, I sort of thought they'd probably move him back to quarterback and he'd play a little bit. So I'm not surprised, but man, if there's a guy you gotta love as a coach, it's that guy. And he's just the epitome of a pure football player. He's a throwback to the way guys used to be. And so I love the guy. I love watching him. I just love the way he carried himself in the game I saw him play. I didn't get to see last week's game, but I did get to see the Texas game on the Thursday night. So he's just a heck of a player.
Coach, there are no games between ranked opponents this year or this weekend, and so there's a lot of opportunity for upsets, some big upsets. But I'll tell you what, there's two really good matchups that don't worry about the rankings. I think these games could go either way in the Big 12. So the big one that everyone's looking forward to is TCU at Kansas State. TCU's 5-0, 2-0 in the conference. They've looked really, really good. Kansas State coming off the loss against Texas. What about TCU going to Manhattan to play Kansas State?
Well, you know, what you said about the no-ranked opponents, I think that was true last week, too, and there were upsets. I think there's a lot of really good games, many more good games, at least from a spread standpoint, than last week. K-State, boy, what a tough loss that was. I haven't read whether Ertz is going to play or not and exactly the nature of his injury, but the two holding calls, you know, just did them in, as you know, they're in overtime. But this is, this is one of those fight back into the end of the battle for the championship, fight back into the upper echelon of this conference. This is a tough place for TCU to come play. Patterson he's long removed from being a K-State guy, but it's still an important game for him from a personal standpoint. TCU's got it rolling. I think this is one of those must-watch games because Kansas State is literally fighting for their lives now, and they're a good enough football team to be able to carry that fight into this game and win it. But TCU's awfully good right now, and they're hitting on all cylinders, and they may be the best team in the conference. So this has the makeup of a really good football game, I think. And Alex Dalton coming in and playing the way he did, at least running the football, is probably, if Urge can't go, the way they're going to carry it in this game too.
It works out well for viewers because TCU and Kansas State starts at 11 a.m. on FS1. Then at 2:30 on ESPN is Oklahoma and Texas. What do you think is going to happen between Oklahoma and Texas?
I don't know, but it's must watch TV. I think two new coaches, one of them has been a head coach, the other first time through it, but showed a lot of poise in that Ohio State game, I thought. This has the makings of a great game, and it's nice to see it being played a little bit later than 10 a.m. in the morning, I think. If you've ever been there, Stephen, that is one of the great places, venues you got to go for that game. You just got to get there. It's the stadium is split in half, evenly in half. It's right at the State Fair, all that stuff going on, playing the old stadium. It's like the ghost of all those teams through all those years are there, and it's just a great venue. And who wins this? I don't know, but this will be a fight, and it's everybody needs to tape it if they can't watch it. I think in the end, the experience of Baker Mayfield wins this game, because I think he's a big game guy. But you never know. Texas is playing pretty good right now.
What kind of week do you think it's been for Lincoln Riley? I mean, you know, it was all off to a great start for him when you get the big win at Ohio State, but they had a scare against Baylor. Then they turn around and have an epic loss like this. This is the first time he's probably has to deal with the actual pressure of being in a big-time program. How do you think that's gone for him, and how do you think that'll affect him as a first year and a really pretty young coach?
Well, it's first time pressure as a head football coach, but the challenge for him is all of a sudden having responsibility for two sides of the ball. You know, as a coordinator, he's been somewhat responsible for half of the team and the motivation for half of the team, although not entirely on his own, because his Bob Stoops has always been there, or someone else has always been there taking that responsibility. So the big step for Lincoln is taking responsibility for the whole team, for the defense, and understanding their mentality in that meeting room and getting them back to a championship level in a game like Texas. Now, the good thing about it is if you have to say anything to your team in Oklahoma about playing Texas in this game, then you got a bad locker room, because this is what kids who go to Oklahoma think about is playing Texas, and guys that go to Texas think about is playing, now that A&M is out of the picture, they think about playing Oklahoma. That's their game. So you don't have to do much, but you do have to understand, and you have to guide. And you, at this point in time, it should be like a car with an automatic transmission. You just have to sort of steer it. You know, it's not like you have a stick shift where you got to do everything. So a game like this, coming off a loss, still in a chance for a playoff, it's a critical game. And those players, and you know, this is where Baker Mayfield and those seniors take over. And Lincoln doesn't have to do much, but he does have to be aware of this and be aware of the other side of the ball now.
Coach, before we let you go, I wanted to ask you about one other story that came up over the past week, and you're pretty plugged in the Pac-12, so I'm curious if you have any insight on this. A lot of people thought it was interesting when Gary Anderson decided to leave Wisconsin to go to Oregon State in the first place. Now, he and the school have apparently agreed to part ways, and all the reports are that basically he's walking away from a ton of money in this situation. Do you have any insight? What went down here, and maybe just what's your reaction to it?
I don't have a lot of insight. I do have some insight into Gary, and Gary Anderson has always been about players and developing kids and being a teacher. I know that. And he was that way at Utah State. He was that way at Wisconsin. I had a chance to go in his locker room at the halftime of a big game, Wisconsin playing Arizona State, because I was doing some material for what I thought I was going to end up doing a book about halftime adjusting. And he was gracious enough to let me go in. And it was the most mature locker room I was in. I was in six. It was the most mature locker room with mature coaches. And I attribute that to Gary and the way he teaches and the way he deals and works with his assistant coaches. So I can tell you that much. I think he's a guy of integrity. I think he's good for the game, and I think he's been a teacher as a coach. I read his tweets, and when you're in that business, and when things you don't have control over some things, and you're playing with big boys, and you don't have all the tools that the big boys have, and I don't mean just players, then it can become really frustrating because your identity and what can become your self-image depends upon what people say and write about you if you let it in. And I think that got to Gary. I watched the texts and I read the texts that occurred over the course of the year so far, and you could see him go from being extremely frustrated to where he finally just said, I'm not going to be like everybody else and take all the money and leave. I'm going to do what's best for the program, and that's who I'm going to be. Now, his wife may be mad about that, but walking away from all that money. But I think that's sort of who he is, and that's about the only insight I have. Hey.
So you said you thought you were going to write the book. Are you still planning on writing that or no?
You know, it became really difficult to do. I would have had to quit doing the broadcasting in order to do it. And I wasn't willing to do that because it became really hard from a standpoint of getting down from some press boxes, getting into the locker room, getting back up. It was a real hassle. And, the coaches that I was able to go, the locker rooms that I went into, were really cordial and really nice. But I had made arrangements on two games to get in, and I couldn't get into them because I couldn't get onto the press, onto the elevator, and I couldn't. It was just a hassle going. Some of them are really far away from the locker rooms are really far away from the press box, so it just became a nightmare. A logistical nightmare, and so I sort of put it on hold. I've still got all my notes, but I need some motivation to get back into it.
That sounds like a heck of an idea. I'd for sure read it. So maybe hopefully
it was interesting. I went in Gary Patterson's locker room, and I went in Gary Anderson's locker room, and I went into Texas locker room with Mac Brown, and so it was there were six I got into, and it was pretty interesting.
All right, final question.
Completely different. The one thing I found was that whatever the demeanor of the head coach is during the game, that's demeanor of the head coach in the locker room. Mm-hmm. And so there wasn't any Jekyll and Hydes in there.
That is interesting. And I bet a different feel from when you were the head coach, having to make adjustments and getting your team ready. The last game I wanted to ask you about, just real quickly, do you think Nebraska has any chance at pulling the upset or making things close against Ohio State in Lincoln?
Well, nothing's 100%. So I say, yeah, there's a chance. I don't think there's a really big chance in this deal. But, they're not playing very well. And the quarterback, his numbers are just killing them. And I don't know, in my opinion, Mike Riley's got to make a move right now and make it for next year, not make it for this year, and unless he has just no confidence in that backup quarterback. But he's got Tanner Lee for 2 years, and I know he's heavily invested in him, but, he threw more picks than he did touchdowns when he was at Tulane, and he's doing that right now. So you can't change those stripes very often. So I think he's in a heck of a predicament, but I don't think they have much chance because if he still picks against everybody else, he's going to throw them against Ohio State.
Coach, thank you for the great conversation, and we will talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Great being with you.
That is Coach Gary Barnett, who joins us every Thursday to talk college football right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.